Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
We're two friends with a shared love of food, cooking, and all things cookbooks.
We are now in the third season of this podcast. Ooh. And this one is all about, well, not really anything in particular. We are themeless. So you can expect deep dives on certain dishes, reviews of cookbooks, of course, but there'll be new cookbooks, old cookbooks, all sorts of cookbooks. And of course, we'll be asking you, our lovely listeners, for some input on episodes that we're going to do.
It's going to be so fun. And if you love what we do, we're also on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help to cover the podcast's costs, from the books themselves to the ingredients for what we cook. And in return, you'll get some fun stuff like bonus minisodes. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now, let's get to the fun part. Hello, Victoria.
Hi, Hannah.
How are we doing? How are we dishooming?
Spoiler alert. I think that's so funny when like podcasts do that. Like, oh, spoiler what we're talking about. But it's like, it's in the name of the episode, lads.
But maybe, you know, we also do it every time. And we're like, a very exciting cookbook to shoot.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't mean us when I'm talking about it. I'm just slagging other people off. I'm not slacking them off.
No, we love everyone.
You should only listen to our podcast, though. If you listen to any others, you shouldn't. No, you should. We don't come out enough.
No, we don't. Yeah, you'd be seriously deprived. Well, you know, for the night that's in it, we're thrilled that Bree Graham, the subject of our previous episode, has come out with a little love for us tonight. So we're both very happy.
A whole Instagram post.
So good. Yeah. Love you, Bree.
We love you. Thank you, Bree, for that. We've made us very happy.
If every chef that we covered did that, we'd be very rich.
I don't know. Yes.
I don't know.
We'd be invited to award shows, I would hope.
Yeah, one day.
If other chefs, not other chefs, but all the chefs, talked about us. What I have to say about Bree Graham's post, this is, look at me. I'm doing a, what's the word?
I don't know.
Transition.
I don't know. All I see is a lot of shoulder action here.
Bree, in her post, said that she listened to the first season of our podcast when she was writing her book in Rome. Mm-hmm. And we have a theme here, right? Because you are going to Italy this week.
Oh, look at that.
There's a theme.
That segue was smooth as butter.
like butter. I am not going to Italy anytime soon, nor have I been, but I would love to talk about Italy.
You have been, though. You have been.
Yeah.
You went to Bologna, right? Bologna? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I think I went to Bologna in 2019.
Yeah, we just had not known each other very long then, and I remember us talking about it loads. That's when I knew I liked you. You like food too.
Yeah. Despite my trip to Bologna being a disaster, there was like really bad rain and we got delayed for like many hours. Oh. So we basically lost like half a day.
Oh, no.
In Bologna. And then we got to the hotel and they sent us to somewhere else. But that's irrelevant. Like, Bologna was so good.
Really?
And I just think, have you ever seen that Master of None episode where they... Well, they're in Italy for a lot of it in that first season.
Yes.
And he's like, their little song is, eating in Italy is my favourite thing. Eating in Italy is my favourite thing. And frankly, I couldn't agree more.
Oh, so I haven't been to Italy for 15 years.
Holy.
Which, you know, I was only 5 then.
Yeah, exactly. You were fresh out of the womb.
From my sister's wedding, and she got married just outside Florence. And it wasn't like a, because it was the wedding, it wasn't the touristy trip. And I didn't tack any, I was a student at the time, so I had no extra money to like hang around and go see stuff. So I literally like flew into Florence. She got married in this tiny town near Florence, and then like we came home. So I have not properly really had a holiday in Italy or gotten to eat in Italy and make it my favorite thing.
It's my favorite thing.
So I am so excited. But we are going to Venice. And so Doug the dog's girlfriend, Sadie, her owners are Italian.
Is she coming?
No, she's not coming. Doug's also staying at home, I think. He'd love the pizza, but, you know, this plane would be a nightmare. Her owners are Italian, and they were like, oh, but the worst food's in Venice. And I'm still like, well, the worst, your worst is way better than our best, probably, right? So I think it's going to be okay.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Shall I put some pictures on our gram so everyone can...
Yes.
Everyone can...
Do you have any, like, places to hit? Have you... got a list.
So one thing you should know about me, Vic, we've never been on holiday together, but I'm not a researcher. I'm an airport researcher, or like a on the way to the hotel or Airbnb researcher. So TBC.
We should go on holiday together because I'm a researcher.
I feel like I just think anyway it's going to be good, and then I like to know. I don't know. I actually have no excuse for this. I'm just a bad holiday planner.
That's fine. I feel like it's just the way it is, right? Is the person you're going with a planner, or are you both not planners?
We're both not planners. I think. I don't think he's done.
I meant
no.
Fly by the seat of your pants. I love it.
He just loves pizza. I think he's just going to see anywhere with pizza and be like, yeah, that one. Let's face it, they're all going to do pizza.
Yeah. And it's all going to be great. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, and I'm up for like a little spritz and a little aperitivo with a little snack. I think Venice is big on seafood. I can do a little bit of that, my companion. Not so much, but...
Well, they can have pizza.
We can have pizza, yeah.
In the land where tomatoes taste like things.
Oh.
You know, one of my favourite things about eating Italy... Apart from singing about it and thinking about Master of None and Aziz Ansari, is pizza fritti.
Yes.
The last time I was in Italy was when I was in Bologna, and I ate about 6 over the like 2 days we were there, because they just hit, man. Like, if you were to make pizza fritti in this country, it would just taste like oil and dough, which is a donut. But in Italy, they taste like things.
Man. What size are we talking for a pizza fritti in Italy?
It's small, right. Like a almost like a pasty size.
Yeah.
You know, like a snack. I love them.
I'm so excited. I'll give a recap of my favorite things I've eaten in the next episode.
Please.
Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, the next episode.
It's going to get taken off iTunes because Apple Podcasts because
we're throwing it back to 2001. yes, Italy's going to be great.
Oh, that's so good. I'm jealous. I'm going to book a... I'm going to go to Italy. I'm going to go back to Bologna.
I think we, like I said, have never been on holiday together, but we really deserve... one to somewhere with delicious food. And we floated Korea, like far-flung places, but maybe we need to start with like a little foodie weekend away somewhere.
In case we're deeply...
incompatible.
Incompatible, that's not a word. Incompatible travellers.
I think we'd be all right.
I think we'd be fine.
We like to walk, we like to eat, we like to drink coffee. You like natural wine. I like anything with alcohol.
I like a spritz as well. I love some kind of bitter. I like a Negroni. Ooh. I like a Campari spritz. I like an Aperol spritz.
Have you had a Negroni Spagliato? I'm so excited about them. I think they're great. They're on the menu at Franco Manca now, like a chain, a pizza chain in the UK for anyone who's not in the UK. And they are great, honestly. It balances the bitterness of the Negroni with the sweetness of the Prosecco.
We have a Franco Manca in...
Bristol. Anyway, we're not in Italy for this.
And to end this conversation about Italy and all the great food you're going to eat, I ate a cheeseburger pizza last night.
Did we not talk about that on the other episode? Didn't we talk about cheeseburger pizzas?
Yeah, I think we probably did.
Where did you get it from?
Oh, at this place where we were visiting our friends, Stu and Toria, who live in Newton Abbot, which is a town in the southwest, and we got these burgers and pizzas from this place. It was good.
So you decided to chop one of the burgers up and put it on the pizza.
Yeah.
Bun and all.
Just love carbs,
you
know?
Me too. Was it good? Yeah. Oh, did they put the pickles on and stuff as well? You got the whole shebang.
I feel like I couldn't do it without pickles. I feel like if you're missing the pickles out of a burger pizza, then you... what's the point?
Yeah, that's what the Italians say, right?
Yeah. The first rule of pizza is never skimp on the pickles. Yeah.
We're not talking about Italian cuisine today.
We are not.
We are talking about... the book is kind of set in Bombay and it's like a love letter to the city of Bombay, right? But it's also about Irani cafes. Jesus Christ. You guys should know that it's a Sunday night and we both had a really long weekend. It's not going to run smoothly. But, you know, we're in it with all our hearts and all our Deggy Merch chili powder. Except I couldn't find
what
any.
What about Irani cafes?
It's about Irani cafes. So. The cookbook is Dishoom, which is a really popular, started out as a really popular restaurant in London. I think they opened the first one in 2010 and now they have like 8. I think there's one in Edinburgh as well, actually.
Yeah, and Manchester and Birmingham, I think, as well.
Oh, really? That article I read was outdated. And it is by the cousins who founded Dishoom, Shamil and Kavi Takrar, and the brothers Adarsh and Amar Radia. And it's all the recipes from the restaurant, including like their famous like black dal and their egg naans and bacon naans that they do for breakfast. And then, all of them. It's divided into 10 chapters. It's like breakfast, mid-morning snacks, lunch, puddings, tipples, breads, blah, blah, blah. There's loads. And that, like, each section is kind of divided by these big old kind of narratives around Bombay. And it's basically kind of describing a day in Bombay. I'm using the word Bombay because that's what they say in their book, in Mumbai. And they kind of tell you all the places that they love to eat and that are like inspired, all the restaurant recipes. The dishes that they cook are cooked in like Parsi, Muslim, Hindu and Christian traditions. And they kind of balance them all. They say in the opening bit that they've gotten some kind of like some hate mail about people who didn't like that they had like some Muslim stuff on their website, but they're more about like marrying up all these different cultures. And yeah, it's kind of meant to kind of That's welcome everyone. Yeah. The fun fact that I found out was that Shamil, one of the co-founders, did like an MBA at Harvard Business School, worked as a strategy consultant at like Bain, which is a big strategy company, I guess. I can't remember. And then his family, I think, owns the rice business Tilda. Which is, yeah, massive here. Is it a global brand? I don't know. But, yeah, he like, was reflecting on his Indian heritage. He noticed that representations of Indian culture in Britain had become a bit, like, cliched. And so they hit upon this idea of paying homage to Irani cafes from Bombay. And then that's how Dishoom came to life. And it's got like the cafes have this kind of particular aesthetic with loads of family portraits and checkerboard tiles and ceiling fans. And that this book has a certain aesthetic as well, right? Like it's really, yes. It's like really, really beautiful, actually. The photography is gorgeous.
Yes. It's a coffee table book for sure. Yeah. Or should I say, a chai table book.
You're so adaptable. Your references are just so adaptable. Yeah, so, I mean, when I first moved to London, I remember hearing that Dishoom was like the place to go and having, I think my sisters came to visit and I booked us in for breakfast in the one in Shoreditch and got like, yeah, got the naan breakfast or whatever. I've never actually had dinner there, but you have, right?
I have, yeah. Right when it first opened, like before I moved to London, but in Covent Garden, right when it first opened. Like, Dishoom is famous for like its queues.
Yes, right, I was gonna say.
It's like they don't take bookings for under 10 people or something. Yeah. So you have to get in this queue. And the queue is insane, yeah. Which I think is why you find so many people who live in London or Londoners who just have never been apart from for breakfast.
Yeah.
Because it's just not, there's so much other food in London to eat.
Yeah. Like, what is it about?
And their breakfast is good.
The breakfast is good. I think that's maybe why I've only been for breakfast. But like,
yeah,
I guess, you know, places like Brick Lane are really famous for Indian Pakistani food. I don't know what it is about Dishoom that's managed to kind of just create this hype that still exists today.
Yes.
Still like gets cute.
Yes. Like there's one right by our office, right? Yeah. Like in London. And so like you see the queues, but we've been for breakfast a few times in there because it's never busy in the morning, but like you walk past at night and it's like
insane.
It's just like, who are these people that are still queuing for Dishoom? And it's been open, like you said, for like 13 years. And there's what, 4 or 5 in London now?
What's your stance on queuing for food?
That is a really good question. Yeah. I was all about it in my youth.
Yeah.
Meat Mission.
Yes.
That restaurant was the first thing I ever queued for. But also I feel like, and I might have said this before in the pod, but I feel like Meat Liquor made me fall in love with food in London.
Oh,
like
wow.
That whole like the hype.
Yeah.
And the like excitement and like it was such a different dining experience that I've ever had before. And yeah. I felt like that got me. But now I feel like I don't have time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not.
And it's cold.
It's cold. I'm not a massive fan of it.
unless it's like someone small, and I think it's like the one of the most recent times I queued was for that Mystic Barek person that I think I've mentioned before, who does all these like Balkan phyllo pies, and she was doing a pop up at Half Cut in like Canterbury or somewhere, and I went in queue because it felt like that was something exciting and new.
Yes.
I'm not going to
queue. Nobody else is doing the stuff that she's doing, right? And she's amazing.
Yeah, and she's just there on her own. Like,
yeah,
that's incredible. But, like, established places like Tashima or whatever, I'm not going to do it.
No. It's like Padella. Like, I queued for Padella back in the day, which is a pasta restaurant. It's in, it started in Borough Market, and now there's another one in Shoreditch.
Yeah.
I think Padella is some of the best pasta you can get in London, but I'm not going to queue for it like I did 7 years ago or whatever it is.
No, it's so reasonable as well, Padella, isn't it? Like, yeah. I think as well, if you're queuing for cheap food, that's something too, right? If it's like cheap, like affordable and fast, and they're like, yeah, like I've queued for picking up a sandwich at Chatsworth Bakehouse because it's a sandwich, right? Like, but the idea of queuing for somewhere where you're still going to have to sit and pay like a 50 quid bill, it just like, just doesn't really sit well with me. I'm just like,
Yeah, like Roti King, that's worth it. Because there's no other place you can really get that food or Roti King specifically. And then, you pay less than a tenner for some of the best like curry you can get in London.
Yeah, great.
Anyway, so if you're coming to London and someone's told you to go to Dishoom, you should, but you should absolutely just go for breakfast.
Yeah. Or I don't know if you can book now. Maybe you can't. I don't know. I don't know if that's like part of that.
I feel like you still can't. Mm. I took all of my international guests from my wedding to Dishoom. Mm. I got married on a Saturday and I took them on the Monday.
Yeah.
There must have been about 12 of us. And we were able to book.
Yeah.
Because if you've got a big group, then your feasting menus they do is great because you just get everything and it's quite cheap, like to share. And then you get to try all their big dishes and you don't have to choose, which I think in a place like Dishoom is great because you're not like, oh God, I don't know what to get because I don't know what anything is.
Yeah, yeah. A bit like Hoppers or somewhere. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm a big fan of that. But yeah, I love their granola and their little chili jams.
Yeah, the chili jams are good. Louise and I, my friend and I, got like their at home breakfast kits during lockdown. So you like, they send you the naan and they send you like everything and you make it up yourself. And that was great. That was really, really good. And quite affordable too.
I am interested to, obviously we'll talk about it because we
did it.
We do. I'm interested to know if you made any bread, because I didn't. They have a whole bread section in here, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm interested. I thought about it.
I think we should get on to the food because I've got things to say. what were your first impressions? Let's go with that first.
So I've had this book for a while.
Yes.
And I remember when I first got it thinking, this is a lovely book. Mm-hmm. Isn't it pretty? Oh, hasn't it got all the things in Dishoom that I like? And then looking at the recipes and thinking, this is going to go back on my shelf. And then I got it out again when I was making some food for my sister and brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. For a second there, I was like, oh my God. My sister-in-law
and Vic brother-in-law.
Has a sister and I have never...
Surprise! <known. laughs> when they had their baby and I filled their freezer with some bits. And I was like, oh, you know what? The Dishoom cookbook will have a great dal that I can just make and make a massive one and put and have it in their freezer and everyone loves dal.
Yeah.
And I did make a dal, but I did not make this one, let me tell you. Because you just... the ingredients lists are something.
And I'm coming at this from... I've previously bitched about Covent Garden, Crystal Palace not having a very good Asian shop or or Indian supermarket or any of the good places where you get these ingredients. And my God, did I feel it in this episode. You offered to get me stuff, didn't you? Because you were going to an Asian supermarket and we thought we might see each other. But I wish that would have worked out, let's say.
But I went, so very luckily, so I don't have an Indian supermarket near me, like in within walking distance. But luckily I was meeting my friend Gemma for dinner at an Indian restaurant, actually, that was next to an Indian supermarket. This is absolutely irrelevant context. So I was like, okay, I need to decide what I'm going to make so I can go to this place and pick stuff up. But even then, I had to order two things on Amazon.
Well, because more they didn't have
fucking Deji merch, which is in every recipe. It's like a chili powder, which I think is actually just called something else.
What is it?
I think it's a very, very red.
Oh,
did you get some?
Cool. Oh, dried red chili pepper commonly used in Indian cuisine. Thank you. Deep red color, mild to medium level of heat. What can I use instead? You could use Kashmiri chili, also hard to find.
I think that possibly they're the same thing because this Indian shop that I went to had a million Kashmiri chilies and literally every fucking thing else. And none of this one. But anyway, all that to say, I had to order it off Amazon.
Look, we'll get to me, but you are more dedicated than me. You are more dedicated.
I also ordered mace blades, which is something I've never fucking heard of. Excuse my French.
Was that like for your, like, I don't know, kung fu fighting class or something?
Yes, my kung fu fighting class. I am a panda. From a Disney movie.
I love that that's the only time you've heard of Kung Fu Fighting and not the song, the popular song.
I don't listen to music.
No.
I'm very serious. I only listen to podcasts. I only do research on the competition. And there is no podcast about Kung Fu Fighting.
What did you make, my dear friend?
Okay.
I'm settling in here because I think we're both going to be talking for a while. Y'all ready for a bumper episode?
I know. It's already fairly late and I feel like we're not going to bed early tonight, lads.
We haven't discussed this. Just, you know, we've kept our usual rule of not discussing the book. But I was so close last night to texting Vic and being like, what the actual fuck?
I think, you know, I'll save my conclusions for the conclusion part for act three of this podcast. But we may say that restaurant cookbooks aren't for us. Yes,
or anyone. I just don't think they should exist.
Or anyone.
I chanted this about five times last night in the kitchen. I was just like, restaurant cookbooks!
And I think that, you know,
not happen.
I'll be honest, I think that Hannah might be low-key annoyed at me as well because this was my suggestion.
Oh no, I'm not annoyed at you at all. I'm happy I didn't pay money for this cookbook because our good friend Kate Robarts loaned hers to me, so thank you, Kate, but you'll be getting it back too sweet because I don't want anything else to do.
This is why I encouraged you to borrow it, because I was like, I don't think you're going to want to pay them. Anyway, look, let me tell you what I made three things, and that sounds like more things than I should have made, but within that I probably made about 400 of the recipes.
Yes! How many times did you have to turn the page between finding your core recipe and all the other little sub recipes that you had to use? Sorry, I'll calm down, but I'll just, you know.
Please, listener, if you haven't listened to the French Laundry episode, I feel like this could be similar. This is at least the food, I think, is going to be delicious at the end of this.
Yeah. Yes.
For me, the food was delicious.
Mostly, yeah.
But I could have flown to India and back.
I could have queued
the time
in the rain.
Finished.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I could have queued. I could have got the train to fucking London or Birmingham or Edinburgh, probably. From here.
You could have gone to the Irani. Oh my God, I can't speak. Irani cafes and Bombay.
Right. Here's one thing I like about this book.
What?
It has drinks in it.
Okay, yes.
It has a lot of drinks, alcoholic and non-alcoholic. And the drinks at Tashim are nice. I don't drink tea,
mm-hmm.
so the chai is all wasted on me.
Right. Oh, this is Bloody Mary.
However, this...
Sorry.
So I made the mango lassi.
Oh, how fun. I love a mango lassi.
Because, yes, we're big... Stephen is a really big mango lassi fan, and I had a tin of mango
puree
pulp.
Oh yeah,
great, like amazing stuff in the cupboard. And I was like, you know who else will like this? My, you know, almost 2-year-old. And I'll be honest, he hasn't stopped talking about it.
Marcus.
Yeah.
Oh, what did you say?
More mango milk. More mango.
Oh, bless him.
But he's not having any more of it because it's quite sugary. So this is maybe the easiest recipe in the entire book.
Good. I'm glad. I'm happy
it's
for you.
Yogurt.
Yeah.
Full fat Greek yogurt. Mango puree and simple syrup. Which simple syrup is a separate recipe on page 138.
Of course it is.
But let me tell you.
Just put it on the same page, yeah?
Yeah. Just repeat it.
Yeah.
It's literally just equal parts sugar and water. And then so you put the yogurt and a little bit of water with 70 mils of mango puree and 20 mils of sugar syrup, and I put some ice cubes in.
Nice.
Because, you know, it's delicious. And then you wazz that up and then put fennel seeds on top.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And it's delicious. And they have like 3 other variations. So there's a salted lassi, which is just Greek yogurt and salt and cumin seeds on top.
Yeah.
They've got a sweet lassi, which is just with the sugar syrup and yogurt, and then rose and cardamom lassi. So that was nice. That was great. Because who doesn't like a mango lassi?
I like a lassi come home.
I love a lassi dog. Whenever I see a lassi dog, I'm always like, oh, they're lovely, aren't they?
I think we had a lassi dog in our family.
Did
and
you?
It was jealous of me when I was born. Presumably my wit and sparkle. And I think we had to rehome it because it was, So I don't love them.
Take that, Lassie.
Lassie, go
Maybe
away.
You had been rescuing. You came along. You then started to rescue things from rivers. That's what I imagine Lassie does. That's what the Lassie in the show does, right?
Yeah, very clever.
Anyway. Onwards. So the next thing
the
I made.
Mango lassi. No, that sounds good.
The mango lassi is great. It's great. I mean, you don't need to buy the book to get a mango lassi recipe, but it's delicious. And if you've got some mango knocking around, then that's a good thing to make.
Yeah.
Great for toddlers.
Nice.
Too.
More mango milk?
Mango milk. Right. The second thing I made was the pow bhaji.
Oh!
Which may be pronounced pav, I'm not sure, which is on page 160.
Okay, I'm coming.
And
hold up.
This is like...
So wait up, I'm coming.
get there,
oh,
Lassie.
Yes, I saw this.
Yeah, this is fun. It's like...
potatoes.
Essentially, yeah, potatoes and all sorts of vegetables... In a kind of, a curry sauce.
Yeah.
Served, and it's buttery, and then you're supposed to serve it with white bread buns.
Yeah.
It was nice. So, basically, it's quite an involved process.
What?
Like most of these things are.
Maybe.
So you make like a, what they call a soft vegetable base.
Oh, no.
Out of... cauliflower, green pepper, green beans, carrot, peas and salt, but like small amounts of those, which kind of, I guess it acts as like a paste, like a thickening paste, which you then add into another thing. So you make this soft vegetable base by throwing those vegetables in, yeah, and it's like small amounts of them, with some water over a like medium heat, I think. And then you're like just cooking them and like mashing them at the same time. Mm-hmm. To make them into a kind of smooth paste.
Right.
They do have like an easier way to do it, but I was cooking my other thing at the same time, which was incredibly involved. So I was like, well, I'm here at the oven so I can exactly mash if I need to.
Chained to the hob.
So you make that. Mm-hmm. And before that, or whilst that's happening, you also roughly chop 350 grams of floury potatoes and boil them until just tender. And then you just kind of, you bring it all together. So you get another big saucepan. I've ran out of saucepans. Yeah. I'm sure you did, yeah, as well, making these things. Ran out of saucepans. You get another saucepan. You add some onion.
Mm-hmm.
Cook that down with, just having a look, to the golden brown, and then add tomatoes. So 400 grams of chopped tomatoes, tinned or fresh, doesn't matter, they say. And then cook that down with some tomato puree until it's kind of, this is to the oil separates.
Yeah.
Which is a strange thing to say, but fine. And then you add the spices, and the spices are Degi Mirch, yeah, of course, cumin, turmeric, 3 teaspoons of Pav Bhaji Masala, which is a separate thing.
Of course.
And I had to buy in a box from the Indian shop. It's literally, it's only for this thing. So that's good. and that's it. So you add that along and then cook that. So that's like a lovely like base for your, what is essentially like a curry.
Right.
Like a not too saucy curry. And then you add your soft vegetable base, your potatoes, and 60 grams of butter. Ooh.
No, that's not that much.
Yeah.
That doesn't deserve that noise.
It does feel like a lot, though. It does make it buttery. And then you put the lid on and you cook it for about 10 minutes. And then... Whilst you're cooking it for 10 minutes, you open the lid every few minutes to mash.
Of course, because what else, you keep what else do you have to do in life? Nobody else has anything to do. You just see, we're all just standing at our fucking hobs. Sorry.
But you be careful of the steam when you open the lid to mash. Mash, 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 mash.
Be careful of your ready. Back as you stand in one spot for 3 hours God. To make one dish for dinner.
I needed one of those anti-fatigue mats.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Then you serve it. You can add more butter to serve, right. But they also say to serve it with fresh coriander, some red onion, and lime.
Yeah.
I had coriander. I didn't have fresh lime. So
they love a lime in this. Red onions. There's a lot of fresh lime in this.
Yeah,
actually,
they do. Yeah. Which you don't really associate, no. I think, with Indian food.
I like it though. It is nice. But yeah.
This was really nice. When I first tried it, I thought, oh, that's spicy. Right. I was like, oh, I don't know if that's too spicy for me. But the more I ate of it, it was fine.
Your taste buds were slowly dulled.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Really nice flavours, but I didn't think it was anything out of the ordinary.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was nice, yeah. But the effort to payoff ratio was not as good as I would have expected. I definitely wouldn't make it again.
No.
Because I feel like the flavours weren't anything like different to just a curry that you could knock up.
I love knocking up.
By using some of the same ingredients, but less mashing.
Yeah. Look.
But I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, everything's good, right?
Wow.
Don't feel like my soul has been hurt by a cookbook like this since...
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, since French Laundry, if we're going to compare.
And, you know, that's... We love cooking. And I will stand at the cooker and the hob for hours.
Yeah.
For, like you said, it's something life-changing.
Yeah.
Or something, I don't know, that feels... right at the end of it.
If it don't feel right. There was something infuriating to me in the flipping of the pages back and forth to the various recipes,
yeah,
and just trying to bring it all together. And like, even I'll get to it, but for my one that was like a recipe from the previous page, but like without a certain aspect of it. And then it was like, well, then just write it out again so I don't have to be flip-flopping all the time. And I just felt annoyed.
Right, the last thing I made, and this was what I expected to be the pièce de résistance.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I have to do it. I did the black doll.
You did it!
I did it. Because I was like, look, I'm going to commit to this.
Rather you.
And what a commitment.
How many hours?
So the black doll, for those people that haven't been to Dishoom or don't, you know, it's their like
signature.
It's a dish that you like have to order. It's a doll that is black. I made out of black doll. And it is really good.
Yeah.
Like it seems to be, it's like they're, it's just their thing. It's good. It's a doll. And this is in their cookbook. And it's like, it's just what a lot of people talk about. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it.
I'm glad you did. You will always,
and
that's
to be
what
fair,
I can always count on you for, Vic, is you will always do the signature dish. You did it for Simon Hopkinson. You did it for this other example that I can't think of right now.
I made a table for Brie Graham's table for two.
Yeah.
I went to France and did my washing for the French Laundry. I did make the French Laundry's little salmon things, which I think is their... anyway. So the black doll. Well, I was like, maybe it's fine because the ingredients list is very short.
Yes, true.
But no.
But the time that it takes is very long.
I'll be honest, this basically took a whole 24 hours out of my life.
I mean, what else are you doing really with your life?
No, to be honest, nothing. So, day one, you need to make... It does say in the preamble that it deserves, requires 4 to 5 hours of your attention.
Jesus.
Okay. And it did. But also I needed the whole night before to make all the pre-recipes.
Oh, God.
Which include garlic paste, ginger paste, and the Dishoom garam masala. Now, I made the ginger paste on page 353. And now I have more ginger paste than anyone ever needs for anything. Because I made the whole bastard recipe. And now I have like... now I have a really big jar of ginger paste in my fridge that is only going to last a month or so. Yeah. Tops.
Every night it's blacked out so... for you before bed. You start to make up the following day's blacked out.
I'm just going to have to start drinking it for like, if I get sick,
yeah.
I'll just start ginger drinking ginger and shots. So then for the garlic paste, I absolutely didn't bother making the paste. I just got like, so you needed like 3 bulbs of garlic to make the paste. And I used like 3 cloves and just, because it's just garlic or ginger and oil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I just bashed some garlic together with some oil that, about what I needed for the recipe.
Yeah.
Anyway, the gram masala was a different matter. Now, let me just find that one to get into for you. This is what I needed the mace...
Blades.
Swords, or whatever it's called, for blades. So I needed mace blades, which I ordered off Amazon, and then they never arrived. Oh, so I had to get a refund and just not use them. So here's the gram masala... mixture. You know, go and get yourself a drink, lads, if you're still here. A black cardamom pod, 4 cloves, 5 grams of black peppercorns, 2 large cinnamon sticks, 10 grams of coriander seeds, 5 grams of cumin seeds, 4 grams of fennel seeds, 2 star anise, 1 bay leaf, 2 grams of mace blades, 10 grams of poppy seeds, and 2 grams of dried rose petals. Luckily for me, I had most of those, apart from the mace blades, the poppy seeds, the petals.
What? You don't...
And the star anise, because I hate them.
All of those things? Star anise and petals? Or all of them?
No, I don't hate all those things. I don't like star anise. Mm. I don't like the smell of rose.
No.
But, you know, I committed myself to the... And if I ever need to, you know, pull off some kind of romantic gesture, I've now got a whole bag of rose petals.
I don't know if it's dried petals that they sprinkle. Well, someone might just...
It needs moss, Han. I'm married to a man. They wouldn't know the difference.
You might as well just sprinkle some potpourri up the stair.
Like I said, they won't know the difference.
Okay, I back this.
and so, obviously, there's 2 options. You can either... toast them in an oven or toast them in a pan. I chose a pan because it takes 2 minutes rather than 2.5 hours.
And £20 so on your electricity bill.
Yeah, fucking hell. So you toast everything apart from the poppy seeds and the rose petals in a cool dry frying pan. And then you add the poppy seeds and rose petals after they've cooled and... mix them in a spice grinder into a fine powder.
I would have bought the garam masala. You're a better person than me.
Well, I do. I have garam masala, obviously. But I was like, well, what's it must be? To be fair, this is my favourite thing of the whole book.
What?
I now masala? Have a big tub of Dishoom garam masala, and it smells incredible. Yeah. And I will definitely use it in. Curries.
Totally.
And I'm happy that I did it. I've never done that before. I made like a spice mix. Oh my poor mini chopper. I really got a beating this week between that, the ginger paste.
Oh God.
and the onion chopping. Anyway.
Your store cupboard is set.
Yes. I need a new cupboard. For the store. I need a pantry. A new house. So made that gram salad. I'm very happy I have that, even though it was a bit of an effort. So I made that and then I went to bed because it was about midnight. Mm-hmm. So then the next day, when you're ready to actually make the thing that you want to eat, which is the house-back dal, you get the dal, which is 300 grams of black dal, which is urad dal.
Yeah.
You put it in a pan of cold water. No, wait. You have to rinse it 3 or 4 times mm-hmm. until the water goes clear. Mm-hmm. Then you put it in a pan with at least, they say, at least 4 litres of water.
4 litres?
I don't have a pan big enough for that.
No.
So I did my best. And then you boil it for 2 to 3 hours.
Jesus.
Until the grains are cooked, but they must be creamy, not, what do they say? Creamy, not crumbly.
Okay.
Turn off the heat, allow to cool for 15 minutes. Whilst you're doing this, because you've got a bit of time.
Oh, do you? That's nice.
In those 2 hours, yeah.
To live your
while
life.
That's cooking. You also have to skim off any impurities off the top while that's cooking. Mm. So you can't just leave it.
No.
And you have to top it up, obviously, if it gets too low, the water.
Do we think this is, dished out some form of torture in, like, Guantanamo Bay?
Well, they need to pass the time. Something to do. Maybe that's what that guy was cooking in the kitchen in that Wandsworth prison when he escaped. He was like, I just can't do this anymore.
Get me the fuck out of here. I would have strapped myself to the bottom of a van last night.
Okay.
Sorry.
So then you mix in a bowl, a separate bowl. The garlic and ginger pastes, tomato puree, salt, the Degi Merch chili powder, and the garam masala. You mix that into a paste.
Mm-hmm.
Then your lentils are done. You pour off the cooking water, and then you pour on enough freshly boiled water to cover the dal by 3 to 4 centimeters. Bring it to a boil over a medium heat and add the aromatic paste and 90 grams of butter.
Okay.
Into the water that is boiling.
Right, okay.
So then you cook that on high.
Yeah.
Like you keep it boiling for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But wait.
There's more.
There's more. You then lower the heat and simmer for 1 to 1.5 hours, oh, stirring very regularly in case it sticks to the bottom.
Meanwhile, you've been like fired from your job, your husband's left you, your kids run out the front door, you've not been able to keep up your normal life.
My parents think I'm dead because I haven't called them. My son's been at nursery for 2 days without anyone picking him up.
There's a zombie apocalypse taking place around you, but you haven't noticed.
So when that's done, it should become thick and creamy, but the creaminess must come from the dal disintegrating and making it creamy rather than running out of water.
Okay. Good to know.
So you have to keep topping up the water if it gets too low, because that's no. I don't know how you tell the difference, but anyway, we move. And then once you're at that point, the creaminess point, you add 90 milliliters of double cream.
Okay.
And cook for 15 more minutes.
Oh, good, yeah.
And then it's ready to serve.
Oh, good. Was it worth it?
No. The amount of money and time, honestly, I spent on this, I literally could have gone to the shoe and eaten it. Where a professional spends 24 hours cooking it. Look, it was nice.
Mm.
It was good.
Yeah.
Right? It was delicious. It was creamy. It was rich. It tasted like the real thing. It looked like the real thing.
Yeah.
Looks absolutely fucking awful in photos because it's just dull.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely wouldn't do that again.
Have I told you that my friend, Emmy, I meant to text her before this podcast to get this story right, but Emmy, my friend, made this dal. And at some point where you have to like drain it off, it all just fell down the sink. after they'd already spent like a considerable number of hours on it, and they just stood there watching it like circle the drain, like filter down. Can you imagine?
Oh, it took two of us to drain it. Like, I was like, Stephen needs to come here and help me drain this, because if this goes tits up, like, that's it. I'm like, you might never see me again. I might have a literal mental breakdown.
Oh my god.
And I'm reminded, and it reminds us both of this video we saw online where someone's making bone broth.
Oh yes.
Have you seen it?
No, yeah, but I think you told me about it.
Yeah. Oh my god. I might have talked about it on the podcast before, that making bone broth, which obviously takes hours, days.
Yeah,
you're like boiling bones down, and it's ready, and they're going to like strain the broth, and they like, you get it. Like, I would do this. Like, they have a moment of, you know, like whatever, and they drain the broth, so all the broth goes down the sink, and they're just left with
bones. Oh my god.
Anyway, so that's what I made. Mm-hmm. The black dal was delicious. Okay. It makes an awful lot.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Well.
So we ate it for like 2 days in a row. So we ate those two things together with parathas, which I absolutely did not make from the book. But there is a recipe if anybody wants. I had the frozen ones that you cook in a pan for 2 minutes, mm-hmm. and they are the most delicious thing in the world.
Absolutely do that all day long.
And it was great. And this book will go back on the shelf, and I will not make anything from it again, at least for a while.
Mm. When I was looking up when I was researching the book, the reviews were very high, and I thought that was
interesting. It's a beautiful book.
It's a beautiful book.
And way more beautiful than The French Laundry.
It is. And I don't mean to, I'm not dissing Dishoom here. They're great. They make delicious food. I think maybe this came out during lockdown. I'm not sure. I think I read something about that. Maybe people...
I feel like, did it come out the year before? Like, maybe 2019?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Because I saw it won some awards in 2019. But I'm not, you know, people were probably asking, please, please, give us the cookbook. Little did they know that these people are paid to stand in a kitchen for hours on end every day, and we as the normal folk don't have time. We don't have time. There's a reason. This is actually a great case to go out and eat dinner outside of your home.
Yes.
Because food like this takes time and prep and multiple elements that you, me, none of us, we don't have any time to make it.
Also, I think it's a good case to appreciate Indian and Asian food for incredible. The time and effort that it takes, which I think it sometimes in the media and in people's minds, it's less, it feels less labor intensive or what's the word? Gastronomic or fancy.
Oh, bullshit.
Than
Italian
food or shit like this, but like, what?
No, bullshit. No, it is. It's delicious. The depth of flavour is amazing, but yeah, we just don't have time, my friends.
No. What did you make, Hannah?
Oh, Vic, I'm gonna keep this as snappy as I can. I'm gonna start with, I made two things, but technically, of course, that's about 28. So I... First thing I made was I was meant to have friends around yesterday for dinner. Good friends Hannah and Jeff. They got COVID. It's back, by the way. September 23.
But they came round, got tired of waiting and left.
We ordered a takeaway. They didn't come around, and I'm so glad because they didn't have to witness me having a mental breakdown, because I fully... We'll get to that. Right, I'm going to start with the lesser involved thing. That was the gunpowder potatoes.
Oh, lovely.
The feisty dish of grilled new potatoes. You don't like little potatoes, but they're small.
I don't.
So anyway, this one's okay.
You don't like little potatoes, but they're small. both things are true.
And they're small, I don't know. Right, so you boil some baby potatoes, that's fine. And then in a hot, dry frying pan, you toast cumin, coriander, fennel seeds, Then you're meant to crush them with a pestle and mortar. I should say that at this point, I had already started cooking about 2 hours ago. And I was like, I'm absolutely not crushing them with a mortar and pestle. I don't have one. And I just started cutting corners left, right and centre because I became like a sulky teenager at this book. I was like, well, no, I'm not doing that. I want to sit down and eat my dinner. Then you're meant to... So I just left the seeds whole. You set the grill to high. You drain your potatoes. And then you're meant to put the potatoes on a baking tray, brush them with some oil and grill them until they're crispy. My grill...
I'm waiting for your shortcut to just be like, so just threw them in the fucking oven.
I tried. My grill just didn't heat up. So I was like, well, you. I'm just putting my oven on at the highest setting. At this point, I'm about, like, I think the end is in sight based on the other recipe, which is way more involved. And I was like, I just want to fucking eat them. So I put the oven on high and that wasn't cutting the mustard. So I was like, I'm just going to fry them. I'm just putting them in a pan and I'm going to fry them. So I put them in the pan. But what you do in the meantime when you're crisping up these potatoes in whichever method you choose, you put the spices in a bowl with some melted butter, chopped spring onions, coriander and green chilies. And then when the potatoes are browned and crisped, you divide them in half. You're meant to use a metal spoon so that you get some nice rough edges. At that point, I was blind to whatever utensil. I just picked up the nearest thing from a drawer. And then you put them in the bowl and you toss it with everything. Your spring onions, butter, coriander, chilies, lime juice, and sea salt are added at that point. And then you're meant to add a teaspoon of kebab masala. Now, that took me off to another page, which at that point I found very triggering. So I decided not to add it. I'll never know what that kebab masala was because I just couldn't.
Probably shit. Don't worry about it.
I know you had to make it from scratch. So it was in the bad books for me. And you just toss everything all together. And it was fine. I think I could have. My potatoes were done, but the outsides definitely could have been crispier. Maybe if my grill were working. They were okay. Maybe it was missing something from the kebab masala, but yeah, they were fine. I had some earlier again, the leftovers, and yeah, they were okay, but I definitely think they'd probably be better in the restaurant. Okay, now we're going to get to the big one.
The big one.
I made the paneer tikka chapati roll. Sounds good.
Tell me the page number. Hit me with the page number.
280.
So maybe this is why the chapters in this book are like first, second and third dinner, because you have to eat two dinners before you get to your third dinner, which you've been making all day.
They should be titled first, second and third breakdown. And you like, yeah, your patience is worn to an absolute sin. Anyway, so this one, I was already a bit cranky when I was going out to the supermarket. The way I shop for recipes is I take pictures of the ingredients on my phone whenever I'm going to buy stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I took a picture of the ingredients on this. Then I had to flick to page 368 for the chapati dough ingredients. Then I had to flick to page 278 for the paneer ingredients. And then the kebab masala again was absolutely overlooked. Couldn't give a shit. And then
couldn't give a shit.
The coriander mint chutney, page 378. Flicked to that to take a picture of that. And then I forgot to take a picture of the stupid ingredients from the makhani sauce, which was one of the most involved bits. Luckily, I had read some of it earlier in the day. So when I was in the supermarket, I was like, oh God, I think there was chopped tomatoes. I think there was double cream. I think there was black cardamom. So I was just like, at that point, I was already a bit cranky in the supermarket because I was like, I've been walking around here for a long time, not finding things and I'm angry. So I'm just going to leave some stuff out because life's too short. So anyway, Oh, God, I actually don't even know if I have the energy. I started with the chapati dough. So that's page 368. So this was my first mistake. I saw chapatis in the supermarket and I thought, maybe I'll just buy the chapatis. But then I thought, no, you like to make bread. You like to make lots of, you know, different things. Make the chapati. That was an incorrect decision. You, I should absolutely not have done that. You use plain flour, atta, which is whole wheat chapati flour, sea salt, sugar, milk, egg, vegetable oil. Basically, you mix them all together. But the dough felt really dry. And they don't give you any guidance on what you should be looking out for, what you should. If it feels dry, here's what you should do. It's just like, no. Pour it in, draw in the flour, knead with your hands for 8 minutes to create a soft dough. It was not soft. It was like a little bit crackly and dry. So I was like, I'll add a little bit more oil. I'll add a little bit more milk. Who the fuck knows? Finally, it was like brought together. You cover it with a clean, damp cloth, leave it to rest for 30 minutes. Then when it's 30 minutes while you go off and do your million other jobs. When the resting time is up, you knead that dough. You weigh it into 70 gram portions and then you're meant to roll it into a ball. Heat up a frying pan and then you're meant to roll those balls out really, really, really thin. It's like 1 to 2 minutes. One to two millimetres. You cook them for 1 to 2 minutes each side. And I was rolling them and because they were so tough, you know that when you're, I don't know if you ever got that when you're rolling something, like the dough's just done, it needs a break. So I was constantly having to rotate the dough to just like give it a break while I like tried to roll it. And it was like cracking, like craggy edges. I was angry at it. So I like fried those off and I was like, they feel crunchy. Like they don't feel soft. So I put them in like a damp tea cloth. When they're hot in the hope that they'll be soft. But ultimately, they were my downfall. We'll come back to that.
So I just to say for the listener who doesn't have this book in front of them, and you probably shouldn't because don't buy it. The end result of this is like a wrap,
yeah,
right?
It's like almost like a burrito-y kind of
like
thing.
Like a burrito, yeah.
With paneer so this and was supposed veggies to be, and stuff.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So
looks
those
lovely.
Breads were obviously gonna the cornerstone of... Yeah.
And Jeff, the guy who's meant to come around for dinner, his mom makes amazing chapatis. So I was like, oh my God, this is my chance. I've never tried to make chapati. I'm going to give it a go. And then maybe I'll be able to make them like Jeff's mom, Maggie. But alas, no, I still don't know if she can teach me her ways sometime. But then I've said that in not the order that it was done. But in the meantime, I'm doing a million other things. The paneer, oh God, it's just so ridiculous. The paneer tikka, on the previous page, there's a paneer tikka recipe in which you have to do two marinades for the paneer. The first one is like spices. So your your bloody Deggy Merch chili powder, turmeric, dried fenugreek, couldn't find it anywhere, just used fenugreek seeds, sea salt, lime juice, grand. And then... For the second marinade, you're meant to add chickpea flour, toast it till it's golden brown, put it in a bowl, add in like mixed pickle, chili powder, turmeric, salt and mustard oil. You mix that, add in Greek yogurt, and then you're meant to put the paneer into that and leave to marinate in the fridge for 6 to 12 hours. At that point, again, this was a bit further down. I'd already started some other elements and I was like, this is absolutely not happening. I'm just going to put it all on it and then it's going in the pan. So that's what I did. And it was still delicious. So the paneer.
Of course it was.
The paneer is the sad story of this. The mixed pickle was great. The yogurt was great.
Did
Love
you
that.
Toast the gran flour?
Didn't even buy gran flour. Can't be arsed. Oh, use main flour. plain flour. And then, okay, the makani sauce. This was also... This was the one I forgot to take the photo of. It's a rich, creamy sauce used for chicken ruby, haldari kofta, and paneer tikka chapati rolls. That's what I made. First, you fry some garlic. You make it nice and crispy. Then you're meant to grate the remaining garlic and the ginger to a fine paste. No, I just used pre-made ginger paste because I just
Life. I could have had some of mine.
Life is short. I could have just gotten the train, gotten to Bristol, gone to your house, collected the ginger paste, come back, and probably everything would still be just fine on the hob. Chopped tomatoes. You're meant to blend them to a soft, fine consistency again. I was just reading all these things about having to... And I just wanted to eat my dinner and the rugby was on and I wanted to watch it. Anyway, so what's weird about this is the oil that you fry the garlic in, you leave it in the saucepan and then you add in... You take out the crispy garlic and you add in bay leaves, green, black, cardamom pods, cinnamon stick. But it's a lot of oil. It's a lot. And then you turn it down, the heat down, and you add in your ginger paste. It's meant to be garlic paste too, but I couldn't be arsed. And then you're meant to cook that for 5 minutes till it's brown but not burn. And then you add in tomatoes and salt and chili powder to that. And then I was like, the oil was just sitting on top. And I was like, this is not good. This does not look good at all. And you bring that to a rapid simmer and cook until reduced by half for half an hour. Then you add in butter. So you've got this tomato-y sauce with a layer of oil on top and I'm meant to add in butter and I was like, I'm just adding in a tiny little bit for like creaminess. And then you add in garam masala, sugar, honey, cumin, your crispy garlic, fenugreek, fresh dill, left that out. And you cook that for another 15 minutes.
Dill?
Yeah.
Dill doesn't feel right here. Dill. But who am I?
Yeah, it never feels right to me.
No, and then, it doesn't.
The oil's still sitting on top, so I was like, I'm just going to drain this off because this looks awful. And then you add in cream, and that's your McCamey sauce. But that was like a solid hour of work for that sauce, of which you then only use 180 mils of it. I mean, it's still sitting out there in the fridge because I didn't use it all. You come back, so then your paneer that you've already cooked and all the other stuff, you get a pan and another pan, fry off some green pepper, red onion, then you add in turmeric chili powder, salt, green chili. Listener, if you're still with me, you deserve a fucking award because this is just insane. You add in your McCamey sauce to that until it's warm through, so the sauce I just spent an hour in, and then you put your paneer in there and you remove from the heat. Then you're meant to make up your chapatis. I've already described that. They were really crispy. Something was wrong. And then when they're ready...
Rename this book. Something's
wrong. And then you assemble, finally. You're ready to assemble.
All this for a sandwich, lads.
All this for a wrap. You take your chapati, you lay it on a surface. You put in some fresh spinach. Lovely.
Did you have any surface left in your entire flat?
No surface, no sanity. And then you put in spinach, red onion, 5 coriander leaves. I was counting those out so carefully by that point.
And then, 5?
Yeah.
It says 5.
5 coriander leaves. And some of the paneer mixture, 1/4. You put a pinch of kebab masala on top if you have any will to live left whatsoever. And then you're meant to roll this wrap tightly in half, fold your ends in, roll it into a log shape. Mine was so...
I would fold my ends in. The ends of my fucking life.
And then you meant... So I did it twice. But I had 2 vaguely usable chapatis. The rest I'd given up on. And so I made them. And then you're meant to put... They were like cracking and the filling was coming out because they weren't dry. They were too dry. They weren't good. And then you might put them in a frying pan and fry them off with some melted butter.
Oh, my God.
So I put them in and they just, like, crack. When I try to turn them, they're just falling apart and the filling starts oozing out. And I, at this point, had spent at least 2.5 hours in the kitchen. This is...
The rugby had started and finished.
The rugby was at half time. Tom... My boyfriend that doesn't deserve a debut on this podcast. Me having a relationship doesn't deserve a debut on this podcast. But he deserves it at a time when he had to give me immense emotional support. Because I'm standing in the kitchen with these like wraps falling apart in a frying pan, having missed the first half of Ireland beating South Africa in the rugby. And I've just got like my hands over my eyes and I'm like, I can't believe I spent this much time on this food and now it looks like the dog's dinner. And he's like coming around to like hug me and I'm like, it's food. I know it's just food. I know it doesn't matter that much. But I had a full breakdown. Doug the dog's looking at me now and wagging his tail because he was very upset at the time as well to hear me all upset. And I didn't take a photo. I threw it. I was just like, I'm not taking a photo of this food because it's made me so angry and it looks shit and it makes me look like a shit cook, which I'm not. And I was just really angry and I was like, Tom, you're just going to have to eat this with a knife and fork because it's going to taste good, but it looks awful. So I basically just like threw it onto a plate and it looked like an absolute mess. It looked like a half a like quesadilla or something. It was shit. And we sat and we ate it with gunpowder potatoes. And it was...
Sorry, I feel like I've gone from like, you know, joining in taking the piss to very concerned for your well-being.
I just don't... I'm mad about the chapatis because they're not easy. Like, it's not easy to make a good chapati, right? Like, that is things that, like, you know, recipes are passed to generations and this, you should know the, how it's meant to feel and, like, and they just didn't give any tips about anything. And I was just like, I'm so angry at you because you're not helping me through this. Like, if you have the touch for it, that's great. But, like, I'm a stupid white girl from the west of Ireland and I don't know how to make them. And I was just like, I was just pissed off.
They obviously didn't teach him that in his fucking MBA at Harvard.
Yeah, but you know what? The paneer, and it did taste delicious. It was really nice. By the way, I mentioned the coriander mint chutney earlier. I never made that. By that point, I had absolutely given up. The ingredients are still in the fridge. But yeah, I'd make the, you know what? I'd make the paneer again. I'd make the paneer with some mixed pickle and Greek yogurt and stuff. That was nice, turmeric chili. But you don't need to marinate it for 6 to 24 hours. That's a very large window of time. You could just do it in a pan like I did.
I'd be like, I want to know if Dishoom have tested it every Kenji style.
Yes.
Every hour from 6 to 24.
Yes.
And to know that it changes dramatically.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
Which I know they haven't, and that's fine.
Just restaurants shouldn't do cookbooks, that's what we know.
Restaurants shouldn't do cookbooks. That's
this much I know.
What's going on our new merch. Our Deggy merch.
Right, let's rate.
I think what I would like to say to the listener at this point is that we are aware that we are yet to do an Indian cookbook, a fully Indian cookbook. So we did East.
Yeah.
From
Mira Soda. Yeah.
And is that it? I mean, that's not just Indian food. She has other Indian books, but...
India Express by Rukmini Iyer.
Yes. You did that one, but yeah. I have that one as well. So I think I would like to commit us to finding...
the ideal Indian.
A really good Indian cookbook. I recently got one that I hope that we will do on the pod. I treated myself to it with some birthday money because I've been looking at it. I'm not going to say what it is because I'm a tease. But you know what it is. I told you that it was beautiful.
Oh, yes, I do.
And maybe we'll do that one, but I feel like I have to, you know, we have to have a little break. Hannah needs a break.
It's not me.
A break. She needs to go and eat Italian food in Venice. Let's rate this cookbook. So, if you are new here, sorry.
We're not normally like this.
We are honest. We pride ourselves on not hyping up a cookbook just because it's hyped.
Yeah.
We will tell you the truth, which hopefully if you've been listening for the last hour, you you appreciate and understand. So if you are new here, every episode where we talk about a cookbook, we rate that cookbook out of 5 criteria. And what we rate out of changes every episode based on the book, the chef, you know, something. I will just quickly tell you what we, the criteria that we, criteria? That's what we've been doing. The criterias that we've been doing this week are usability and accessibility.
That's one.
Aesthetics. That's one. Ingredients used. That's a third one. Veggie friendly. And inspirability. They're the 5 things. And I say we change the rating every episode. And today we are going to rate out of
Deggy merch.
Because it is literally in every single recipe. I did also buy, before we go into rating, is amchur, which is like mango powder, which I hadn't planned on using it, but I'd read they do like they've got like basically a mango seasoning, which is amchur, which is mango powder, the chili powder, deji mirch, and salt, and they say it's good on like chips and okra. They have like an okra, and I was like, I saw it when I was in the shop, and I was like, I'm just gonna get that because that to me, that pushes my buttons.
Yeah, that is delicious. It's quite sour, isn't it? I think when you
I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
There's I was gonna ask you if you've ever been to G, the chicken shop, but I know that you haven't. Sorry. Because you are a vegetarian, which is like a Taiwanese chicken place in London. It's very like casual. You just kind of, and they do this incredible Taiwanese chicken, and you get to choose your like flavor I'm doing like a weird shaking thing with my hand, but because they're like shakers and they have all these flavors, and I always get the plum one. Because, and this is what I hope this mangoey one will feel like, it's kind of sour but kind of spicy but sweet, but salty, and it's perfect on like hot fried chicken. That's my tip if anybody goes to do the chicken shop, which they have one in Bristol as well. But anyway, this is irrelevant, but that's what I hope to have that for, and I think I will like it.
Yeah. Keep us posted on that.
I will do. And that might be a redeeming feature of this book.
Yeah.
So, Hannah.
Yeah.
How many deji merch out of 5 do you give to Shu?
Is it deji merch? Is that how it's said?
I don't know.
Usability and accessibility. I'm sorry, but no. Not one. Ingredients used. No. Sorry, it was just too hard. I didn't get loads of things. And no.
It's really unapologetic about ingredients, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no substitutions offered at any point.
No, and that's right? Like, that's why they're good at what they do in a restaurant, and that's why we shouldn't
because they can bulk buy mace blades.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. Veggie friendly, sure. Yeah, it can have one for that. Aesthetics, yes, a point, because it's beautiful. It should just be a coffee book, coffee table book, I think. And inspirability, no, I'm going to give it 2 out of 5 deggy merch. I'm sorry. Sorry. I had dread about cooking. I was grumpy yesterday because I knew I had to cook from it. Then I spent ages in the supermarket. I spent like 40 quid in the supermarket on stuff. And then I spent most of my evening cooking something that ultimately turned out not to be right. So... And I missed the first half of the rugby. It's okay because we won. So, no, it's 2 out of 5 Deggy merch from me. Sorry, Jashun, but I think you'll be just fine without me. I'm sending people to your restaurants. I'm just telling them not to buy your book.
Go to the restaurant. Go for breakfast.
Yeah. And enjoy the labor.
Get an egg or bake a naan, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Mine's the same, by the way, the rating. There's no point in me going through it. It's exactly the same. It's very veggie friendly.
Yeah.
I struggled with the ingredients, even with, like, I went to a shop and I also spent a lot of money. What really pissed me off about the shop, which has nothing to do with this book or anything, is that my favourite Indian snack are called guntia, and they're like these crispy, like a kind of buttery, I think they must be made of gram flour. Like, they're my favourite thing, and you can't really get them anywhere usually.
Yeah.
But they sell them. So I was like, fucking going to buy them.
Ooh, yeah.
They're never cheap, but I love them. I love them so much.
Ooh.
And I bought all the stuff, put it away, like put it in a bag, and then went to dinner with my friend Gemma, and then got home, and like, because it was all dried stuff, I just kind of left it until I was ready to make stuff, and I fucking forgot about my guntia, and when I went to eat them, they were kind of soggy.
Oh, no.
and soft, and they're supposed to be crispy and lovely, but anyway, that's my own fault. Yes, get the granola. I like the granola from Dishoom's breakfast, because it's kind of like got a bit of a like fun kick to it.
Yeah.
But, also, yeah. They're like toast with like their chutneys and jams.
Yeah,
is lush.
I'm sure that masala beans thing that they do is nice too. Yeah. You wore me down, Dishoom. We need a fun episode next time.
I'm sorry, Hannah.
That's okay.
I feel really bad. I feel like because I suggested this.
Oh, not at one point did I blame you. I was more than happy to do the book. I'm just sad. I just think. I'm wary of any other restaurant. Find, listeners, please tell me a good restaurant cookbook, because that's what we need to know, because I am sceptical. Cynical, sceptical, all of the cult.
Yeah. What? Do you have any other restaurant books? I'm trying to think. I've got loads of mine here.
No.
I mean, I feel like even the... Because Ottolenghi has like a restaurant book, right?
Oh, I have Nopi.
But that's fancy, right?
A bit fancy. I made a couple of things from it, but it is super fancy. It's restaurant-y. These people have fully equipped kitchens, beautiful, like, loads of space, loads of surface area, loads of hob space, loads of pans, a big pantry. We are the average
Test Joe. Kitchens.
Yeah, and we can't do that.
And also, chefs aren't usually recipe writers.
A little bit of this.
And I think that's probably what happened also, like, with your chapatis.
Oh, don't get me started on those chapatis. Also, listeners, actually, if you know a great chapati recipe, please do send it to me, because I just don't know. I feel like you need your mum or someone to teach you. And I think my mum did used to make good chapatis, but I didn't get to ask her in time. So if anyone's got a good one, please let me know, because I'd like to make a chapati, a good one. Thank you for listening, and thank you for staying with us.
We'll be back.
Yes. We'll be back with a vengeance. Jamie's artichokes didn't get us down. The French laundry didn't get us down. We can pull back from this.
But no, it's a challenge, right? Find us a good, or tell us about a restaurant cookbook that you love.
Yeah.
I have Tom Kerridge's Hand and Flowers one.
Oh, I thought you were going to say.
His most recent one.
Foot and mouth disease.
which is a beautiful book. And I flicked through it once and I was like, never going to cook anything from this. But it's beautiful.
Yeah. It is an interesting challenge. I'm yawning now because we had a long day yesterday. Thank you for listening. We'll be back soon.
Thank you for listening.
We love you.
We love you.
And we hope you still love us.
And if you feel so inclined to help us buy Deggy merch, then you can support us on Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, where pals. We do some fun mini-sodes and you get all sorts of extra little bits and pieces.
Yeah, the opposite to this, a mini-sode. This is going to be a mega-sode. Thank you for listening. Bye.
We love you. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review, as it helps others to find us and enjoy us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle, where you can also get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, feedback, ideas for episodes, whatever you like. We really love to hear from all of you. So we'll see you next time. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.